the end of summer's around the corner, which means time is running out for summer adventures, but you still have a few weeks and a couple of weekends to get away. And this year holds a special opportunity to celebrate Nevada's 150th anniversary. So where are the best places to soak up a little Silver State history? And where do you like to go when you get a chance to get away? If you've got a great place that you should that we want to hear about, call us 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And joining us in the studio now is Deborah Wall. She's the author of Base Camp Las Vegas, Hiking the Southwestern States. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So we're celebrating Nevada's 150th birthday this year, and we know that there are ghost towns and other historic places all over the state. Where do you like to go to get a little bit of that ghost town atmosphere?
The ghost town atmosphere, let's see. I like the Virginia City area. That's up by Carson City. And that's a really neat place to go. You can ride the trains. You can do the passenger trains up from Carson City or just take a shorter one down to Gold Hill. You can take mining tours. You can even take a stagecoach ride.
Do you have a favorite historic destination, a place where we can see some of that old Nevada history?
I like the Belmont historic town. That's a pretty neat one. They've got the Belmont Historic Courthouse, which was originally the Nye County Courthouse.
And that, is about 1870?
Let me see. I think 1867 to 1905. And they're going to actually open that up for tours on Labor Day weekend.
And when you go to a place like Belmont, what does it teach you about Nevada history? What do you learn when you go to one of those places?
They're all kind of the same in some ways. You can go back in time and really kind of appreciate, especially when you do those courthouses. You know, Peoria is another one. Excellent courthouse museum to, you know.
That was when that part of the state was really rich and wealthy and building beautiful courthouses.
Absolutely.
Also joining us in the studio is Joanna Haugen. She's a travel writer who's contributed to Desert Companion. Welcome to the program, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
Now, same question. Where's your favorite historic destination in Nevada? Where do you like to go and soak up some of that 19th century atmosphere?
I think Deborah is absolutely right. If you head north up to the Reno, Virginia City area, there's a lot of interesting destinations up there. Virginia City is, of course, fantastic. But if you get into rural Nevada as well, you'll run into a lot of quirky little places that have kind of been abandoned over the years, but still maintain a lot of historic vibe to them. Ely, for example, has some really interesting older hotels, and it's kind of a step back in back in time, if you will. Again, stagecoaches. They run a fantastic train out there with almost a Wild West feel that they have designed to give you that time, that feeling that you're going back in time. You're going to see the cowboys riding along the train and things like that if you head out into rural Nevada.
Talk about one of those train trips. I mean, what do you get to do? I mean, is it just an old steam engine going through some old part of the state?
Well, they're all different. In Ely, for example, they do have one that they decorate for the holidays, and it's kind of a Polar Express, if you will. They also have, on a variety of the trains around the state, they have different Wild West themes, or they might have evening wine train rides. So each of the historic railroads has something different. And if you check online on any of their schedules, you'll see the kinds of events that they have planned. And with the sesquicentennial this year, a lot of them are incorporating some of that Nevada history into those train rides.
In what way? Give us an example of that.
Virginia City, for example, is running. They always run their train up in Virginia City area. But if you ride it right now, of course, there is that history infused for the 150th. If you add that on to other events going on in the area, for example, the International Camel Races are coming up, the Great Reno Hot Air Balloon Race is coming up, and if you combine that train ride with some of the other events, the county fairs that are going on, you kind of fuse that Nevada history all into one, the train ride, of course, being just a single component of many different offerings that are going on around the state for the 150th anniversary.
It is the 150th anniversary. We're talking about places where you can go visit in Nevada whether you're feeling patriotic or just need to get out of the heat, this is a great time in the last couple of weeks of the summer to be able to do that. If you've got a favorite place you want to talk to us about, the number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Let's talk about maybe some places, Deborah, now instead of just history. History is interesting, of course, but if you wanted to go to a natural place, a place of beauty, where do you recommend in Nevada?
Probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been is up to outside of Elko, up the Lamoille Canyon Scenic Drive, up into the Ruby Mountains. It's just a spectacular 12 or 13 mile one-way drive. You see waterfalls and alpine ponds and all sorts of wildlife. There's lots of trails up there that you can, you know, at the end of the road that you can access. You can also camp in there, but it reminds you of like you're in the Alps, and that's a fabulous place.
Okay, and it takes all kinds of travelers. You can be a driver, you could be a hiker, you can
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And when you get up there, you should plan on spending what, a day?
Well, you know, there's a hike that actually goes. It's a four-day hike if you wanted to. But there's also lots of great hikes if you have small children with you that just go up to the alpine pond. And, you know, they're like a mile or a mile and a half. And those are really nice. It's just gorgeous, really gorgeous.
Gorgeous. What makes it different from what you see down here? I mean, we can go and hike in Red Rock, but obviously Lamoille is different.
Yeah, the canyon was carved by a glacier. So it's got a different look as far as geology. And it's got grassy meadows and wildflowers. And, you know, there's snow up there almost all year round, a little bit of patches even in the summer.
So that's just perfect to get out of the 100-degree
heat. It sure is, yes.
Okay, Joanna, I mean, do you have a favorite beauty spot that you like to recommend to people in Nevada?
In terms of Nevada, I don't think you can beat Great Basin National Park. I am a big fan of the single national park that we have encompassed in our state here, and it's a really great opportunity to escape one thing that we have a lot of here in Las Vegas, and that is light. Great Basin National Park is one of the darkest places in the lower 48 states, and the stargazing in the park is absolutely spectacular. They actually have an astronomy festival coming up September 18th through 20th, which I think will be fantastic, a great opportunity to watch the stars absolutely blanket the sky. But beyond that, Great Basin is just, it's so far away from everywhere that most people never get there. And the hiking is superb. The alpine lakes are absolutely spectacular. And the scenic drives through the mountainous area is unlike anything that you can see down in southern Nevada.
Just go back to the Star Festival. That's obviously in the next few weeks coming up. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is go camp in the park and you'll be able to join a bunch of people who are knowledgeable about astronomy?
Absolutely. Great Basin National Park has rangers who, many of them have backgrounds in astronomy, and they have not only full moon guided hikes once a month, but the astronomy festival that they hold in the fall. They set up telescopes and they have the rangers out to answer questions, help people understand what they're looking at when they're looking through these telescopes. And I think one of the things Great Basin really excels at is really realizing that our natural beauty is not just surface level. It's not just what you find on the earth, but what is up in the sky as well. And these astronomy festivals are fantastic for people who have even a small interest in what we see in the night sky, as well as people who are more knowledgeable about our celestial bodies. The rangers are very knowledgeable, able to speak to all levels of visitors. Great Basin is a first-come, first-served campground area. So you do need to plan ahead if you're planning on going up there and get up early to get a camp spot. And, of course, all the stargazing happens at nighttime.
Let's talk for a moment about families with small children. I mean, anybody with small children knows that things that impress adults maybe won't impress children in quite the same way. Joanna, do you have a particular place you think that's good for taking children where they can do things where there's fun and without having to have them feel like they're bored?
Outside of Nevada, if you escape up to southern Utah, of course, we have Zion National Park, which is a very family-friendly park. A lot of great ranger programs up there. But if you go a little bit further and you head into Cedar City, Utah, you can reach Kolob Canyons, which is the northern part of Zion, a little less crowded. Also, some excellent hikes up there. But in Cedar City, there are a few activities of interest for families. For example, the Frontier Homestead Museum is a very hands-on museum with lots of interesting things related to frontier history. If you head south into Flagstaff, Arizona, I'm a big fan of the Flagstaff Extreme Adventure Course, which we have taken a teenage boy and entertain him for a whole day. It's a interesting and intricate, challenging ropes course with four different courses. So there are certainly places for families, both with those with young children and also teenagers, of interest within a short drive of Las Vegas.
And Deborah, do you have a favorite place that is good for entertaining small children and teenagers?
Not for really small children, but for young children with their parents, I think one of the best trips around that's, you know, it's fairly close to, is taking a kayak from the Hoover Dam down to Willow Beach. It's about a 12-mile trip. It'll take you 3 or 4 hours. And that area, as you probably know, is just designated the Black Canyon National Water Trail. That goes for 30 miles. But the Willow Beach is where you would take out your kayak. You get dropped off, launch your kayak. Along the way, there's waterfalls, bighorn sheep, hot springs. I've seen bald eagles in there, osprey. It's just amazing, amazing place.
And when you say kayak, this isn't like rapid water or anything where you need to be a real skilled
athlete. It's actually flat water. It's considered easy. The water flows just enough that even if you didn't want to paddle, you'd get to Willow Beach in time to get picked up.
Joanne, I want to turn to you now because this is probably something that's going to make a lot of people jealous. You spent the summer, the last little while, going down the Grand Canyon. Tell us how you did that.
Yes, I did. In early May, I spent 7 days and 187 miles on the Colorado River, whitewater rafting through the spectacular Grand Canyon. I've seen it from rim to rim and never from within the canyon, and it was amazing. A lot of people believe that it's actually quite difficult to get a permit to raft, and it's true if you are a private rafter or a kayaker, but if you go with an outfitter, there are very possibly still spots available for the season if somebody's interested in this, but it's certainly an adventure activity, an extreme activity. I took a motorized raft down with a company called Arizona River Runners, but there are self-propelled whitewater rafts, and once you get in at Lee's Ferry, you are pretty much committed until you reach the end of your ride, and there are more than 100 rapids, some very extreme, a lot of fun, very rustic, if you will. I slept under the stars every night. You know, there are no showers. There's no technology. It's definitely an adventure activity. And for a lot of people, it's a bucket list activity, and for very good reason.
And that reason is because it's...
It's so extreme. It's hard to do. It takes a certain kind of person to be able to say, okay, I'm going to turn off my cell phone for 7 days. I'm going to be okay with not taking a shower for 7 days. I'm going to, you know, be okay out in the middle of nowhere where, you know, the only way out is by helicopter.
And that's a real emergency.
And that's absolutely in the case of a true emergency. And so bucket list activity for sure, but something I will never forget. It was stunning. The sky looks different from the bottom of the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon itself looks different. And the people you meet who have that same inner feeling of adventure, it's a bonding that you make over 7 days, because they're the only people you have to talk to while you're down there. And it's a very special experience.
So there's that special experience rafting down. But Deborah, I mean, not everybody is up for that kind of activity, those big rapids.
Yes.
What are the other ways that people can see the Grand Canyon?
Well, you know, you'll have to hike down in there, and that causes a lot of people a little problem. I think If you're up for the adventure and you're in shape, one of my favorite hikes is starting at the North Rim, going all the way down to the river, crossing over, and then coming back the South Rim. That's a premier hike. It can be done in 2 or 3 days. You camp down in the canyon. And I love that hike. That was really fun.
So that works for a long weekend, just to.
It's a quick, yeah. You do have to procure a permit and get all that stuff organized in advance.
Is that difficult to do?
You can get one during the real hot seasons, kind of easy, especially if a very small group. In the really busy months, which would be the fall and the spring, which is when it's the most ideal to hike. They get a little tighter. They do a system, like a lottery type system. You can send it in 3 or 4 months ahead.
Now, a little closer to home, maybe, is there a place where people could practice that kind of kayaking before they get on the bucket list adventure down?
Well, like I say, the Black Canyon River Trail. That's the one that you can kayak on it, and you can take there's also a raft trip, but it's smooth water. It's definitely not like the Grand Canyon itself in the park.
But is there anywhere where you get the rapid?
Something in between those two? Well, not locally. There are other rivers, the Green River and the Yampa River up north in Utah and the Kearns River, American River, and those are not as intense, and you don't have to make such a commitment of the 8 days or 9 days.
Now, of course, the other thing we have down here is extreme heat, and that leads to extreme travel. It turns out that there are people who actually come from Europe so that they can be in Death Valley mm-hmm. in the middle of summer.
I've seen them there, and it's just as crowded in the middle of summer. I was there a couple months ago, and they're all Europeans, and they're taking pictures in front of the thermometer. And I guess, it was official, I think, last year that Death Valley had the highest recorded temperature. I believe it's 134 degrees. I've been there when it was about 131 once. But you can't move,
So, but what do you tell people when they say, I want to go to Death Valley just to be there when it was 130?
Make sure your car's in good order, have lots of water, and don't go out on those trails. People die all the time.
So is there a better time to be going to Death Valley than?
Death Valley is definitely, starting in November and then maybe through April. The April month, of course, is the best because of the wildflowers. But you can go to Death Valley in the summer and go up high elevations. There's a nice hike up there called Telescope Peak. It starts at about 9,000 feet and goes up from there. So that's an ideal one to do this time of year. So, it shouldn't totally be off your list.
Well, we've talked about stargazing. We've talked about the history, the sesquicentennial, which we're living through right now. Do you have one particular favorite place that you think that is not really well known in Nevada that ought to be better known?
Well, I come back to Great Basin. I come back to Great Basin National Park. I think people are really surprised to realize that we have such a spectacular national park that is so dark and so far away from anywhere else in this state. It is a place that a lot of locals could easily reach for a long weekend. And it is family friendly. Lehman Caves, which is there, has great cave tours, the scenic drives, the hiking, but just the relaxing, just getting away from the excessive heat. And the beauty truly is like nothing else that you're going to find down here.
And maybe here in Las Vegas, we're more likely to head up to Zion rather than to go to Great Basin?
Zion or even another area in southern Utah is called Cedar Breaks National Monument, which is very much overlooked and not as large as Zion, certainly, but a beautiful area nonetheless. I think that if Zion and Bryce and those other spectacular national parks weren't in Utah, we would give more attention to Cedar Breaks, actually. But there are some hikes there. Beautiful area, great wild flower viewing, and again, great stargazing at Cedar Breaks National Monument.
Deborah Wall, I've only got about 30 seconds, right. But where's the one place that you think we should go that we don't know about?
I think you should take a road trip through Nevada on the 50. Start at Great Basin National Park and head east. You've got Ely. You could do whatever you wanted there. Then you have Eureka. That's an excellent place to stop just for an hour or two, see the Opera House, and then move on out. You know, by the time you get to Austin, you're ready to get out of the car. There's great hot springs around there, petroglyphs. There's a great Kingston Canyon. And, you know, as you move west, it's all good.
Well, there's tons of great suggestions. No excuse for being stuck in a rut in Las Vegas for the rest of this summer. Joanna Haugen is travel writer and contributor to Desert Companion, and Deborah Wall is the author of Base Camp Las Vegas, Hiking the Southwestern States. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.